out amen. Amen. All right, turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And this is the, the main text of my sermon, that with God, all things are possible. With God, you didn't know that, but all things are possible. Mark chapter 9, let's read in verse 21. Mark chapter 9, we'll start in verse 21. It says, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has been thrown him both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, for me personally, this is a challenge. This scripture challenges me because it tells me one thing about Jesus, that all things are possible, but it's dependent on me believing. Did everybody see that? He didn't say, like, just a heart condition is possible. He didn't say paying for $369 a gallon of gas is possible. He said all things are possible to him who believes. Now, it's interesting because if you look at the Greek for the word all, I did a big study on it. I spent hours studying the word all in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means all. That's it. Simple. It means all. All means all. That means anything you can believe God for, he is more than able to do it. Now, the title of my sermon, if you don't even put it up, because for the next 2 weeks, I want to challenge you, because then I'm going to Egypt. So I want to challenge you and leave you with a challenge. If you can put up my title of my sermon, unless it, your God is too small. Yikes. J.B. Phillips wrote a book, a best-selling book, called Your God is Too Small. And he basically explains the state of the church, and he said, you church people are thinking too small. God is a lot bigger than we imagine. God is able to do more exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. God split the sea in half, the Red Sea in half, so the Jews can walk through and be delivered from Egypt. God raised Lazarus from the dead. God multiplied a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. God can do more than you can ever expect him to do, but we are putting God in a little box and believing he can only do this much. When the gas went up to $4.69 a gallon, everybody was freaking out. What am I going to do? I got to get a second job. I hate who's running the government. No, you need to declare that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He can do anything we believe he can do. It says here that all things are possible to him that believes. So our God is proportionate to our faith. Now, he's bigger than that. You know what I'm saying. We don't diminish God, but we hold his hands to what he can do in our lives because of our faith. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right, go to Daniel chapter 11. So I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff to challenge you to think bigger than you've ever thought about who God is. This generation is lacking a move of God. This generation needs to hear and see how big God is. When COVID hit, everybody ran scared. We never shut our church down. I said, ain't no way I'm shutting church down. If God can heal sickness and disease, COVID is nothing for him. And so we stayed open. Listen, every single generation needs somebody who's got courage and is brave enough to stand up against everything that's going on in the world and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to run scared. I'm going to just stand up for what I know is true. Amen. Amen. Think about all the people that changed the world. Martin Luther King stood up against everything, and he believed God. And he said, that's wrong. They killed him for it, but we have now changed this country because of him. Jesus stood up. I don't have to go there, right? Everybody knows about him. Moses stood up. He stood up against Pharaoh. Abraham stood up. Daniel stood up. Daniel chapter 11. Let's take a look here. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel says something very interesting here because he's coming against the Antichrist spirit that is coming on the world. And he says this. He says in verse 32, he says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." But watch this. "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." What allowed Daniel, what gave him the guts to say this? Because he said, "I know God." And because he knew God, he said, "I will carry out great exploits." What kind of exploits? What kind of mighty things did Daniel do? Have you ever heard about him in the lion's den? Daniel chapter 6. Think about what took place here. The king said, there was a decree that went out, and the king said, "No one will worship any other god than me for the next 30 days. And it said, if anybody does, we're throwing them in the lion's den. So what did Daniel do? "I'm going to worship my God." He says, "Challenge accepted, king." The Bible says this, he opened up the window and he got on his knees and he started to pray. So in other words, he did it right in his face. He wanted to be loud enough so the government can hear that he was defying them. And he says, "Listen, I either serve God or I serve you, king, but I know God." So he got down on his knees and began to pray. And guess what? They heard him. They went and arrested him and they put him in a lion's den. They threw him down in a lion's den. And what did he do? He didn't fight. He said, "Go ahead, throw me in a lion's den. My God is more than able to rescue me from a bunch of lions." And what happens? An angel shows up in the middle of the night, shuts the lion's mouth. The king shows up the next day. And what does he say? "Daniel, are you still alive?" And he says, "King, oh king, live forever." He says, "Of course I'm alive. My God showed up in the middle of the night. Remember that guy? The guy that you told me not to worship? The guy you told me not to believe in? Well, he showed up. He sent an angel in the middle of the night and kept the lion's mouth shut." Amen. We need people like that who are going to believe God no matter what happens. I believe God. Woo, what was that? Hey, I believe God. Sorry, did I say something wrong? Amen. Go to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. This is after Joshua. Judges chapter 2. Here's what he says. It says in verse 8. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah-Heres and the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaish. When all that generation had been gathered to their father, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." Why do we have Thanksgiving? Why do we have days of remembrance? Why do we have Veterans Day, Memorial Day? Why do we have Independence Day? Why do we have these holidays? Why are we going to celebrate the birth of Christ? To remind us that we may never forget who God is, or who those people who died in service for us, that we may never forget the lives, the sacrifice, and everything that's been done for us. And here it says something really bad happened, is they actually forgot God. Every Christmas we get together, right? We tell the Christmas story. Why? Because we need to put ourselves in remembrance that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that unto us a child is born and a son is given. We need to remind ourselves of the Virgin Mary, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Why? Because those are times that God was with us. Now I want you to notice what Daniel said in verse 11. He says, "Those who know their God." those who know their God. Listen, if you're in this room this morning, you don't know God, it's time to get to know God. Because Mark 9:23 says, with God, all things are possible. With God means you know Him. There's a time of intimacy with God. See, one of the things that I know for a fact is God hates religion. And you may look in the church and say, oh, you're not just another religion. No, we're not. I'm pointing you to a relationship. I want you to get to know Jesus. That's it. I don't care if you forget me and my name. Remember Jesus. Because it's only with Him. It's not with me that things are possible. It's only with Him that all things are possible. And God hates religion. He came for a relationship. Jesus came so that He may live with us. Jesus wants to be a part of our lives every single day. Because with Him, all things are possible. With God, we can do great exploits. With God, we can live a supernatural life. And I don't think we're doing that. I don't think that we're at a place that we actually know God enough that we can trust Him. I think that when something goes wrong, we jump and we jump to our own ability. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to get through? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? Well, there's somebody who you left out of the equation. With God, all bills can get paid. With God, I can handle heart disease. With God, I can handle cancer. With God, I can handle this relationship. With God, I can go through my job. It's with God, only with Him. And we've always left Him out of the equation. Ready? We tried to make living our responsibility. But it really is our response to His ability. How are you responding to His ability? You know why your God is too small? Because your response to His ability is too small. How do... Say it again, Mon. Oh, say it again, Pastor. Where's your dad? Working. Living this life is not my responsibility. Living this life is my response to His ability. So I don't have to stress out when the guy I voted for didn't get elected. I don't have to stress out when the gas prices keep going up. I'm not stressing out that Eversource is raising their rates by 50% come January 1st. I hate it. I'm angry about it, but I'm not stressing out. I'm not going to go get a second job. Why? Because my responsibility is not to stress out. My response is to His ability to who can pay the bill. He's going to bring the money in. I don't know how, and that's the beauty of it. Faith means I don't know how. Faith means He does it. My faith is in Him and in His ability, not my ability. So I think our God has been way too small. And it's time for God to get really big in our lives, to live a supernatural life. I believe He wants us to live supernatural. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Look at Malachi chapter 3 for a second. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we always talk about this for the tithe and offering, correct? It's a tithe and offering scripture, and we kind of tell people, you got to tithe, you better tithe. If you don't tithe, you don't. Watch what he says. Let me set this up. We're going to go to Malachi 3:10. Let me just set this up for a minute. So God is angry with the Jews. He says, your pastors are corrupt. Your politicians are corrupt. He says, I'm tired of your ways. He says, your country has turned your back on me. Read first two chapters. He's angry with them. He's rebuking them. He's reprimanding them. Sounds like the United States of America, doesn't it? Your pastors are corrupt, your politicians are corrupt, and your country has turned their back on me. And he says this, listen, he says, and you continue to think you're entitled because you think you're a Christian nation. That's what he tells them. He says, you continue to live like you're entitled because you know I birthed you. Sounds like us. And then what does he do? God doesn't just beat you up and leave you there. God says, I'm challenging you now. He says, now check me now in this. Prove me now in this. Now, Malachi 3:10. Ready? This is the state of our country. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that they may be food in my house. And then he says, now prove me now in this, or try me, or in other words, with me, believe with me, have faith in me. Watch this. He says, and try me now in this. This is one of the only times that God says, you try me, you test me. He says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. Now, here's the problem with corrupt pastors. Sorry. A lot of times I'll throw myself in, I'm not corrupt. A lot of times pastors use this scripture to get more money out of the church. And they say this, I promise you, if you give, God will give more money back to you. This scripture is really not about money. It's about God doing supernatural things in your life. In other words, God says, if you just trust me with something, he says, let's just talk about the money thing. He says, just trust me with your money. He says, I will open up the windows of heaven and do supernatural things in your life. I will do for you what money can't do. You see, the tithe and offering is not about money. It's about God doing supernatural. It's about how big God is in your life. Is that he will show up and open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't contain. And then he says this, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. In other words, he's coming to fight the enemy for you. He says, I'll sit there and stand against the devil. I ain't afraid of him. I kicked him out of heaven a long time ago. He says, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail that bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. He's really, really talking about faith in God, believing that with him all things are possible. He's challenging them to take a step of faith, believe me, and I'll do some supernatural things in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say amen, or oh my, or whatever you want to say. Say, all right, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I really want to meddle for a minute, but whoa, it's good. Ephesians chapter 3. It's our response to his ability. Go to John chapter 5. Go to John 5, sorry. Let's go to John 5. Let's take a look at this for a minute. Go to John chapter 5. Okay, this is not in my notes. John chapter 5, ready? You there? You there? Yes, no, maybe so? Hurry up. John chapter 5, verse 19. This is all about, remember the guy who gets healed at the pool of Bethesda? Right? So watch what he says. He says, verse 19, he says, Jesus answered, said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, he says, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Now watch this. He says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. So marvel. Who said marvel? That's where Marvel Comics came from, by the way. No, just kidding. That's where Wonder Woman came from. No, it's DC. Get it right. All right. So notice what he says here. Look at verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. Now, how many of you, you know Greek, right? You know the Bible, right? When the word love shows up, what do you think it is? It's the word agape, right? Agape love, right? Which is the God kind of love, right? For God so loved the world, it's agape, right? God loves. That love is like, knows no bounds, right? That's like this pure godly love when he uses that word. But that's not the word he uses here. He doesn't say agape love. He says this, for the Father, ready in the Greek? He says, for the Father, phileo, the Son. You ever hear the word Philadelphia? Philadelphia is what? It's city of brotherly love, right? So the word phileo in Greek is brotherly love. So notice this, he says the Father brotherly loves the Son. That doesn't make sense, does it? See, because you're not Greek, it doesn't make any sense to you. But you need to thank God that I'm Greek, because now I can explain it to you. Ready? So let me go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor. Tell you, Pastor. So let me tell you what the word... So if I would say that you're my philo, right? My phileo. Like Bishop is my philo, right? He's my phileo. He's my brotherly love or my friend. We use that word as a friend, right? Because listen, everybody on Facebook is not your friend. Just so you know. So, right? Your friend, people, friend. That Greek word should be phileo. You know, do you want to phileo me? Not fillet me, but phileo me. So to say, listen, and I said that for a reason. I don't know half the people on Facebook, right? They don't want to be my friend. I said, okay, friend, because I don't want somebody to be mad. Anyway, listen. So, but I can say Bishop is my friend. And the only way we become friends is because we've spent time together. We have spent time. John and I are friends. We've spent time together. We've gone on trips together. We've gone on ministry trips together. Lily, she's my friend. I could say she's my friend. You know why? Because we have a past. And we've spent some time. And don't take the word out of context, but we've spent some intimate time together. We've created a relationship. And out of that relationship, I can say things about Lily. I can say good things about Bishop. I can say things about John. But it comes from a relationship. So when Jesus said this, listen, he says the Father loves the Son. He says the Father and I are very close friends. We spend time together. We've shared a meal together. We've watched Elf together. Are we friends? No. The reason why people don't know God or your God is too small is because you're not spending intimate time with Him. You're not getting to know Him. Listen, when I met Janice, you know, I fell in love right away. She was hot. She walked into a Bible study with her Lululemons. Well, it was 1986 version of Lululemons, right? They didn't have Lululemons back there. But she was running marathons, working out and all that. But in order for her to say yes to marry me, I had to get to know her and she had to get to know me. So we needed to spend time together. And listen, the way you get to know somebody, and this is real simple, ready? You ask them questions. Janice, what shoe size are you? I'm serious. If you don't know your wife's shoe size, you're not intimate. Huh? It's 7.5. So listen. I know things. Here's my point. You ask the right questions. You ask the questions nobody else will. I ask questions because I was asking questions from trying to be husband material. So I'm going to ask questions that no other man is going to ask her. Because if another man asks her questions that have nothing to do with the little details, he's not interested in her. He's interested in what he can get out of her. And that's how Christians treat God sometimes. They're only looking to what they can get out of him. Instead of saying, God, how do you feel about that? God, what? God, did I hurt your feelings? Sorry, God. Am I living a life the way you have already ordained me to do? And listen, I told you this last week. When I asked God one thing, said, when my dad dies, I knew he was going, can you let me be there when he breathes his last? What a little stupid detail. For me, it was precious. And for God, it was precious. And he said, yes. And I was there. I walked in as he took his last breath. Why? Because he cares about every hair on my head. He cares of every little detail that I go through because he knows me more intimately than anyone. And he says, ask me the same questions. What do you want to know? Ask. So I would ask Janice questions. Janice, what about this? What about that? What about that? What about that? And she, I tell this all the time. We've been together for 35 years. I said, I know you better than anybody in this world. If I didn't, I wouldn't be a good husband. That's intimacy. I study, now listen, don't take this wrong. I study her. Why? Because I want to know what makes her. But it's the same thing with God. I study him. I want to know what makes him tick. I want to know why he allows mass murders over the last 2 weeks. And you may think he's a mean God, he doesn't care. No, you don't know him. I ask him these questions. Why? Why? But what do? We sit back and get angry with him. Oh, what kind of God is that? He let four mass murders. He doesn't care about the LGBTQ community. He doesn't care about Walmart employees. He don't care about anybody. Look, he's just letting everybody kill themselves. You don't know his heart. You don't know that his tears are pouring out of his face in heaven. And he's saying, why don't you turn back to me? Where are you, United States? Why have you turned your back on me? Why aren't churches filled? Remember 9/11? So we were over on Lois Street, right? We had a little storefront there. 9/11, I know Annie Mossop was there with us, right, Annie? So we were there, 9/11 happened. We were running, I don't know, 30, 40 people. The very next Sunday, church was packed. And it only lasted 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I hate to say this, but sometimes you pray for another 9/11. Do people wake up? We're losing God. We're losing this country. We need to ask him the right questions again. Tell me, God, why do I need to go to church on Sunday? You tell me why. I want to know why. Let him tell you. Let him become your friend. Go to Matthew 11. Wow, I didn't want to go this way, but go to Matthew 11, 25. Matthew 11, 25. James, thank you, James. Is that tap water? I don't drink tap water. I'm just kidding. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. You're a good bartender. You should. That's good. Thank you very much. Matthew 11. You good? Everybody good? Matthew 11. Let's take a look at this. This would be the last scripture. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I believe that our struggles are all our own. We've made them. We're not responding properly to His love and His ability. Matthew 11. You there? Verse 25. Sharon, if you can get it on the screen. It says this. It says, I'm going to read in two different versions, okay? New King James says it this way. And at the time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Why? Why? Because they spend time together. Right? No one knows Janice like I do, and no one ever will. Do you hear me? No one ever will, and no one is supposed to. Now watch this. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now watch the next verse. It's almost like they're trying to keep their relationship private, right? Doesn't that sound like? He goes, no one knows the Father, the Son, except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. Right? They're trying to say like, hey, this is just me and my dad. Leave us alone. But watch the next verse. He says, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In other words, he's saying this. He says, guys, he says, I want to let you know about him. I want you to know about the Father. I will reveal him to you. Watch this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's he talking about? The Father. He's saying, hey, this is not a difficult relationship. He says, come to me. He says, it's not difficult. The Father is not difficult to figure out. He's a good God. He's not angry with you. He doesn't want to kill everybody. He says, come to me, heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's he saying? He said, if you know me, you know the Father. And let me tell you, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And let me tell you how good the Father is. He loves you. He's not a burden beaten God. He's not up there waiting to beat you up. Now, I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because this is where it really takes on a whole different meaning. Verse 27, ready? He says, Jesus resumed. Sharon, can you do the Message Bible so everybody can see it? Thank you, you're working overtime back there. No, Message. If we don't have it, okay, don't worry about it then. Abruptly, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son relationship. He says, coming out of the Father and Son are intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does. Watch this. And nor the Father the way the Son does. Ready? But I'm not keeping it to myself. He says, I am ready to go over it line by line with anyone who is willing to listen. In other words, he says, I'm willing to tell everybody about the Father if you're willing to listen. He says, I have intimacy and I have knowledge of the Father, and I want to tell everybody. Remember when he healed the sick? He says, I did it because the Father loves you. Remember when he multiplied food? He says, this is why I do it, because the Father loves you. He raised Lazarus from the dead because the Father hates death. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you don't believe what I tell you, believe the works that I did. They show the Father. Now, let me finish. It says, He says, I'm willing to give it to anybody who's listening. Ready? Verse 28. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? What we do here on Sunday mornings is not a religious exercise. I know we preach. I know we do worship. I know we have announcements. I know we kind of do things orderly, which we should. But the whole point of us singing is so you get to know him. Every song talks about him. Don't look at the people singing. You should just shut your eyes and say, moving forward, moving forward. I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward. That song should point you to him. This is not religion. This is a relationship. And once you put your eyes towards him, guess what he does? He says, I'm going to reveal myself to you line by line. I want to show everybody who God is, how great the Father is. Then he says this. He says, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Notice the with. He says, watch how I do it. Learn. He says, I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live a wonderful life. Amen. That's supernatural. That's what God wants for us. Amen. Here's my challenge to you. Now I'm totally off my notes, but here's my challenge to you. Become more aware of God. There's a guy I know. I'm gonna end. You can start, play something, John, if you want. There's a guy I know. He does this. He shuts off every single appliance in his house. He shuts his refrigerator off. He shuts his fish tank off. He shuts everything off that makes a noise, and he looks out the window at the trees, and he listens for God. He becomes aware of who God is. Because you know how your refrigerator kind of comes on? You're like, what's that noise? He wants no distraction. He wants to see nature, the beauty, the birds, the leaves, the grass. Because in it, he finds God. In creation, he finds God. It's the same thing with Janice and I. We take Friday nights. That's our night, our date night. No one's allowed to come with us. We go by ourselves. We go to dinner or whatever. We find a place in the corner. And then everybody comes up to, hey, Pastor Odie, how you doing? And Janice's like, you know, we can't go anywhere with somebody knowing you. But the reason is so we can just talk and be alone and be more aware of each other. God wants the same thing. Cut out the noise and be more aware of who he is. Get intimate with him. Here's my challenge. Be more aware of God. Get to know God and stop making him so small. He's a big God. He's not an old God. People think, oh, he's old, you know, those rules don't apply today. You don't know him. God is hip. God can get down with anybody, anytime. Have you ever seen God's Instagram page? Just kidding. That's his Instagram page. Look at yourselves. You're his reel. This is real. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet.